the podcast with your host, Mike May.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is April 8th, 2024. The Carolina Hurricanes are 78 games into the season with a record of 49-22-7, good enough for 105 points, second in the Metro, third in the East, and fourth in the league. On this episode, we're going to quickly talk about the games from last week, moving on to notable moves the Canes made, what's next as a result of those moves, and then the remaining games for the season. Really quickly, games last week at Montreal, win 3-0. Home versus Boston, lose 4-1. Home versus Washington, win 4-2. And home versus Columbus, win 3-0. At the end of the day, three of those teams, you expect them to win. Montreal, Washington, Columbus. They get the job done. The Boston game, coming off a break, horrible first period, kind of pull it together later in the game, but aren't able to come back from the massive deficit that they started with. Don't love that game, but it's an easy one to erase. We move on. The Canes and the Bruins are very similar in terms of quality. I'm not really worried about it. You just can't come out dead in a first period like they did against Boston. Good teams are going to beat you. It's not going to work in the playoffs. Luckily, I don't think that's something we're going to have to worry about come playoff time. Notable moves. So a lot's happened. The Canes have made a trio of signings, almost four, it sounds like, at this point. I've been kind of waiting to see if more information would come out on the fourth one. It hasn't yet, but that's all right. We'll talk about the three that were made in the meantime. The Canes sign Scott Morrow, Bradley Nadeau, and Gleb Trikazov to their ELCs. Starting with Scott Morrow, second best defenseman in the pipeline behind Alexander Nikishin. Alexander Nikishin is an absolute stud, so being second is by no means negative. Right-handed defenseman, bigger frame, 6'2", about 200 pounds, somewhere in that range. Offensive skill set, good skating, improved his defensive game over the last couple of seasons at UMass. So trending in the right direction, a guy that's ready for professional hockey. A lot of NHL franchises were circling over him, waiting to see if the Canes were going to be able to sign him. The fact that the Canes signed him is going to open up a lot of our what's next conversation. But it's a great signing for the Hurricanes. Second round pick, and really looks the part. Has the capability of being a top four defenseman. I think the floor is really a sixth defenseman with power play utility. So either way, you're talking about somebody that should be in the NHL lineup in the foreseeable future and hopefully for a long time. Moving on to Bradley Nadeau, Carolina Hurricanes first round pick last season. Guy absolutely lit it up at Maine. Has an amazing shot, skates well, projects to be a skilled player, and is one of the guys I'm really excited about. It's something that the Canes haven't drafted a ton of historically, elite goal scorers, and Bradley Nadeau certainly has the ability to be an elite goal scorer. I think he's got better goal scoring chops than Seth Jarvis personally. We'll see if he reaches that ceiling, but he's got top six potential without a doubt and has the ability to be a game changer on the power play. So another big signing, another one that people weren't sure if it was going to get over the line. It was reported on 32 Thoughts, I believe, that Justin Williams was a big part of getting that signing to the finish line. Great work by the whole organization. Another really stellar piece to have in Carolina. The third signing, Gleb Trikazov, younger Russian player. Our Russian scouts seem to think he's going to be one of those diamonds in the rough. We've done well in Russia as of recently. It's going to be exciting to see him come over to North America, likely play in the AHL and grow his game. But this is a guy that has middle of the lineup capability, whether it's second, third line. The floor is likely a fourth line guy. he could end up being just an AHL talent. There certainly is a route where that could happen, but I certainly think that you're looking at a middle of the lineup guy, whether it's second line, third line. He probably projects out best as a third line forward from everything I've read and from the little I've been able to watch of him. All exciting signings, which all make you wonder on a few fronts, what's next for the Hurricanes? They are still looking at signing Jackson Blake. It sounds like there's interest on both sides. The Hurricanes would love to get the deal done. He's a Hobie Baker finalist. Really high skill, had a breakout season. Late round draft pick, either fourth or fifth. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But another excellent job by the Hurricanes drafting on ceiling. This is a guy that's got a high ceiling. Dad's a former pro, and he has really developed well in college. So exciting if we can finish that off and sign him as well. But it raises two main questions. Number one, how'd you convince these guys to sign without an AHL team? Either we have one and it hasn't been announced yet, or a lot of these guys are expecting to really compete for roster spots next year, which I can tell you Gleb Trikazov is not going to be one of those. I could see Scott Morrow maybe competing, maybe Bradley Nadeau, but realistically, I don't really see Scott Morrow playing a ton of minutes next year. He could be your third pairing defenseman for sure, but it's not a guarantee. Bradley Nadeau, less of a guarantee, but definitely possible. So if that's the case, either we have an AHL affiliate or these guys are really comfortable with whatever the Hurricanes are telling them, which we won't know. The second piece, yeah, there's going to be some roster spots available this offseason. We've talked about it on previous episodes. There are a lot of guys that need contracts after this season. Some of them are restricted free agents. Some of them are unrestricted. The roster is going to look a lot different next year. There's no way around it. You're not going to be able to retain everybody. And the best way to keep great talent is to have some young guys on their ELCs playing in the NHL. So there's going to be opportunities for that. I think there's a really great opportunity for Ryan Suzuki to play next year. Beyond that, it's hard to know. It's hard to know, but I have a feeling we're going to learn a lot more over the next month or so, because it's hard to sign NCAA talent like Scott Morrow, like Bradley Nadeau, like Jackson Blake when they can go back to college. Scott Morrow wouldn't have to wait long to be a UFA. Jackson Blake wouldn't have to wait too long to be a UFA. So the fact that the Canes got him in means we're trending in the direction of getting an AHL franchise, or there's going to be legitimate opportunity for these guys to win roster spots. Now, with that being said, a big episode of 32 Thoughts came out. Talked about Pesci, Shea, Natchez, Chatfield. There's a lot of thought out there that somebody like a Pesci is going to be gone this offseason. Sounds like Shea is maybe talked some, but looks like, you know, that could go either way at this point, which surprises me that that's what they're reported. Of the two of those, I would think it's more likely you keep Pesci than Shea, unless you're planning on playing Shea on his offside down the road. And it kind of, you know, defeats the purpose of the Orlov signing as a Nikishin holdover, but it sounds like there's still a chance Shea could be in the mix. Elliot Friedman felt very strongly that Natchez would be gone in the summer, even though he's a restricted free agent. So there's a chance that there's a trade involving Natchez this offseason. And then they also mentioned that sounds like the Hurricanes are interested in signing Chatfield and that they're surprised it hadn't already been done, because it sounded like talks began before the season. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of change, a lot of roster turnover. We already talked about who I thought was the most important guy to sign this offseason, and that was Seth Jarvis. We went through his potential contract range on a previous episode, and I promised we would break down more Canes contracts that need to happen. And the second guy that I'm looking to sign at this point after Seth Jarvis is going to be Jake Guentzel. He's been a fantastic fit in the lineup. I haven't seen a player adapt to Rod's system so quickly before. Yeah, I mean, it's not really even close. He's a cerebral player with a great skill set. He has amazing chemistry with Aho and Jarvis and even other guys throughout the lineup when he's played with them. He's been an absolutely great fit. Now, age is a concern. We know the Hurricanes don't like to sign guys that are aging out to these big money long-term contracts. They also don't like to acquire rental players at the deadline. Well, they're going to break one of those rules at the end of the day. If they don't re-sign them, they broke the rule of signing a rental. If they do sign them, then well, they didn't get a rental, did they? Now, he has been top of his class. He's in the Sebastian Aho category of talent. He's not a center, so he's not valued as highly as Aho, in my opinion, because center is definitely more important than wingers. But he is a very good winger. When you look at some of the guys that he compares with for his career, and even if you break it down over the last seasons, there's three guys that stick out to me that he's pretty close with over his career. There's been a little bit of separation over the last 3 years. That's going to be JT Miller, Philip Forsberg, and William Nylander. And when Jake Guentzel's agent hears that, that's money. That's cha-ching. Now, over the last 3 seasons, JT Miller has been a 1.17 points per game player. William Nylander has been a 1.10 points per game player over the last 3 seasons. And Philip Forsberg has been a 1.09 points per game player over the last 3 seasons. Jake Guentzel is at 1.06. Now, you look at some of those guys. If we're talking about the most recently signed player, that's going to be William Nylander, signed on January 8th, 2024. He cashed in a fat check of $11.5 million a year for the next 8 years. Now, I do not see Guentzel getting that money by any means. In fact, with the Hurricanes, I don't see it being close to that. The other contracts happened to be signed in 2022, so they're not as comparable in terms of recency as Nylander's contract. Philip Forsberg was signed on January 9th of 2022, and that was $8.5 million a year for 8 years. JT Miller signed September 2nd, 2022, $8 million for 7 years. Now, I would think Jake's camp would really like to sign a long-term deal. If I'm guessing, the Canes would much rather throw a big dollar short-term offer at Jake. This one is tricky because we're going away from the norm. So when we look at what the options would be, it is really challenging to break it down. Now, when you have the expectation of having some guys on rookie contracts playing, you have some wiggle room. If they do a 3-year deal with Jake, when they're going into their next window of re-signing, Jake will be re-signing at the same time as some of these young players. A three-year deal would be very difficult for Jake to take. He'd be having to bet on himself, and it's certainly a lot less term than what he could easily find on the open market. But let's entertain a three-year deal, because I would think the Canes would make an offer in some sense at that point. I'm thinking that if you're going to go 3 years, you're going to have to get really close to that Nylander money of $11.5 million to even have a conversation about signing for 3 years. Now, if the Hurricanes say, we'll take an eight-year deal, it's just got to be at a reasonable dollar sign. And look, they locked up. They've got Aho locked up. They play well together. We've seen plenty of guys, high-end guys, produce well into their late 30s. But it's about picking the right guys. If the Hurricanes think he's the right guy to bet on over the long haul to partner up with a Sebastian Aho, then I'm thinking you're likely looking at 8 years and most likely somewhere in the $9 million range would be my guess. That's the most realistic expectation I could set for a Jake Guentzel signing. Now, we have the comparables of Miller and Forsberg, but those deals were signed prior to the increase in cap. The expectation is for the cap to continue going up down the line. They're going to have to pay likely more than what those two guys signed for, regardless of the fact that they're producing more, I should say, than Jake is in terms of points. Now, that's not the only metric, but that's a really easy way to start the conversation. So I'm thinking if the Canes want to do it, I think you're looking at around $9 million for 8 years, give or take a quarter of a million, maybe 3/8 of a million. That's realistically where they're going to end up. Would love to see them get a contract signed in the eights. I think that would be a great contract. But a lot of it's going to come down to Guentzel. Is he going to want to be here? Is he going to want to test the market and max out the next pay? It'll be hard to know. But he's come from a team with Sidney Crosby, with a ton of success, and he's meshed immediately into this new team. Hopefully, it's where he wants to be. And if it is, hopefully the Canes don't scare them away with their hardball tactics. But that's where I sit right now. I'd like to see a Jarvis deal get done. I'd like to see a Guentzel deal get done. I think that would be a great start to your offseason and would really solidify your core players moving forward. If the rumors are that Natchez isn't going to be around this summer, then I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Natchez and Kokkaniemi combined in a package out. I love both players. I think Natchez is going to do extremely well if he goes somewhere else. I think we're talking about a point-per-game player on a regular basis if he's put in the right system with the right players around him. I think KK can easily be a 2 or 3 center in the NHL. His skating isn't the greatest. Everybody knows it. It's been his knock forever. But there's enough there. There's enough ability. Same scenario, right system, right players around him, right mentorship and growth from here on out. He could be a very good player. And there's a good chance we have to say goodbye to a Natchez and a KK this offseason. But if that means that we can keep Seth Jarvis and keep Jake Guentzel, then you have to take it. At the end of the day, the coach has to like the players that are playing for him. And if there's a disconnect, you might as well move on and try and get as much value out of those players as you can. All right, finishing up games next week. We're going to probably run through all the games unless there's major news and drop an episode at the end of the regular season. And then we'll get back on the schedule most likely as the playoffs begin and all of that stuff. We'll have a big episode talking about round one and who we play. At this point, it could be one of many teams. It could be the Islanders. It could be the Penguins. It could be the Capitals. It could be the Flyers. We're not going to know for a little bit of time, but when we do find out, we'll break it down and talk about what to expect out of that series. Otherwise, games coming up for the remainder of the season. 4-game road trip at Boston on the 9th, at St. Louis on the 12th, at Chicago on the 14th, and then at Columbus on the 16th. And that will be the end of the regular season. As always, appreciate you for tuning in. Until next time.